You are listening to the Stetson Students Podcast, where we post all of the series and messages from our student ministry. We are a ministry connected to Stetson Baptist Church, where we are for DeLand and for Jesus. If you would like to learn anything more about our ministries, please check out our social medias or go to stetsonbaptistchurch.org. Worshiping with you guys is something that I want you to know I do not take, I try not to take for granted because it's a beautiful thing just hear all of you singing back these truths to God because it's truly what it is. And so, hey, to kind of continue on this theme of Valentine's coming up on Friday, we are doing this one-off series called More to Love. And then next week, we're going to be jumping back into Ephesians, and we will be rolling through the rest of Ephesians for the rest of the semester until we get to our summer series, which will be the last 3 weeks we have together, okay? I wanted to start today by, or tonight's message, by asking you a simple question of what would you say is the greatest love song ever made? Greatest love song. I'll make it easier. What is the one that probably you play the most, or like is in, you know, if you were in your Spotify shuffle or whatever, you're like, this would probably pop on. Amaris? I See the Light? I actually don't know that. I have seen Tangled though, so I just don't remember the song. Yeah. It's unreleased. You're just best friends with her. You DM'd her. I was like, hey, give me that. Give me the deets. Okay. Okay, got you. Logan? It just has to be a love song. All right. Perfect. By who? Is it Ed Sheeran? Okay, come on. The Redhead King. Evie, I pointed at you, sorry. You're like looking around. Lost in the Woods. All right. Bethany in the back. Huh? Blue or Fly Me to the... those are good songs. Raya what? Okay, all right. I think, man, I don't know about you. But I remember growing up, a lot of kind of how I saw the idea of love or the word love or... love in general kind of was made up by what culture said. And a lot of what culture said for me was music. And so I would look to music in a lot of ways to kind of learn about love. And what I've realized now, kind of looking back on my time and really looking at the culture that you guys are growing up in, that you're a part of, social media, school, celebrities, whatever it is, love is a buzzword, meaning it's a word that's just kind of thrown around, right? It's a meaning that we just kind of use willy-nilly whenever we want to or whenever we don't want to. And what really has happened to the word love is it's lost its power and it's lost its meaning. Like, it really doesn't mean anything or much. Like, me saying, man, I like you, or I want to be your friend, has kind of transitioned into like, man, I love you. You're awesome, dog, right? And so love has really lost its power. Love doesn't mean anything more. And I was looking up, you know, man, I'm a stats guy. So I was like looking into, man, do stats kind of support this idea, or am I wrong? And I think I'm right. And three things that stood out to me when I was looking into it were this. Many say I love you to a boyfriend or girlfriend days or weeks into a relationship. So like, you started dating somebody and days or weeks into it, you say I love you. Like, so it's not something that's kind of held for anything greater or longer period of time. It's usually done very quick now. Another thing is, when asked for Gen Z of like the idea of love, they thought it to be more pragmatic than hopeful, meaning it's more of like something that you grow in or like learn about than something that you look up to or something that you want to enjoy. It's something that's like, well, you just got to build up to it. Another thing is, this one's really apparent, I think, is many say that self-love is more important than loving others. Self-love is more important than loving others. And in this, I don't think any of these things are necessarily far off and like, man, you know, self-love is not important at all. But a lot of this is we've seen that our lack of importance on the word or meaning behind it has led to these things of just, we just kind of look at it like it is what it is. And we give it no value, or we hold no reverence for the idea of what love is. And when I thought about this, and I was like, well, what do I think a good cultural definition of love is right now? For how I see the world look at love, I would say it's this, that my love for you is based on how you make me feel and what I can get from you. My love for you is based on how you make me feel, like you make me feel good or make me feel better than everybody else, and or what I can get from you. Like, how are you going to treat me? And if those two things are not there, like if I don't feel like you're treating me better than everybody else, and I don't feel like I'm going to get much from you, then my love from you is going to lack, or it's going to be non-existent. And I think that's a lot about how we view love. And again, this isn't just relationship love. This is love in general for all those. And I think what this does is this leads to friends becoming enemies very quick. Like, one bad thing happens and we've broken off friendships that have been lasting for years. This leads from a dating relationship leading to hating each other's guts and gossiping about each other 24/7. And this even leads to family becoming strangers, because love has become very self-gratifying and what can I get from it? What can I get from you? Not about what can we do for each other and how can we show Christ. And so truly, we have lost the meaning and purpose of love in the culture around us, in the world around us. And I know that's very just like, honestly, very boohoo, and we're kind of starting on a down note. But I want to tell you, there is hope. And there is hope, I believe, when we look back to Scripture and we see Scripture tell us what love is and how we should view it. And so we're going to be in 1 John 4 today. So if you have your Bible, we'll be in 1 John 4. Hey, while you're doing that, I want to tell you two things. First, if you want to take notes, we do have notepads in the back. If you just raise your hand up, a leader will bring you a notepad to take notes on. And another thing is, we've started this a few weeks ago. If there is ever a point during the message that you have a question about anything, but more specifically about the Bible or what we're talking about, you can text it to 386-734-1991. It'll always be up in front of you, and you can text it. And at the end, we will answer a few questions if there are some. All right, 1 John 4. All right, cool. Hey, we're going to start in verse 7. If you're still flipping there, that's fine. I'm going to go ahead and read it. And as we do, we'll come back and talk a little bit about the verses. All right, starting in verse 7 of 1 John 4, it says this. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not know love does not know God, because God is love. All right, pause. And so, man, in this moment, John is looking at us, and he just kind of really uses this short time to pack a lot in. He starts by telling us that love comes from God. Meaning love's origin literally comes from God. When we view love, or how we should view love, and love in its trueness comes from God. And then he says, man, if you don't know love, guess what? You don't know God. Man, I feel like that's a very harsh statement, right? To say like, man, if you don't know this idea of love, if you don't love well, or if love is not in you, then God is not in you. And the question comes up, okay, well, why, John, can you say that with such a definitive statement? And he answers it by saying, because God is love. God is love. Not God has love or God is loving. He says, God is love. I love this idea, pun intended, because we look at it and two statements in Scripture really point to the core of God's character, love and holiness. Elsewhere in Scripture, God is described as holy, 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 meaning everything that he does, everything that he embodies, everything that he, every characteristic or attribute that he has is holy, is good, is right. But also we see here that they say God is love, meaning everything he does for you, everything he does for creation, everything that defines who he is embodied by love. Is embodied by love. Love is literally at the core of who the God we serve is. And what this means to me, and what it should mean to you, is that the love that you desire and chase, the love that you are looking for elsewhere, only comes from God. And we might look for it in people. We might look for it in possessions. We might look for it in admiration, in success. Wherever we're looking for love to fill that void, it's not there. John is looking at us saying, it's in God. Because God is love. Continuing in verse 9, he says this, "In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." So pause again. John here, he said, so God is love. And if you don't know love, you don't know God. And he said, man, if you want a sign, if you want a symbol, if you want an image of what love is, if you are not sold by this, if you're sitting here going, well, that's all great in theory, but how is that ever seen? He goes, look to the cross. Look to the cross where Jesus gave his life for you. That is the picture, the image, the perfection of love embodied. Let me ask you this. When you think of love, what do you think of? Like what things do you think of when you think of love? This is where you can talk. There you go. Thanks, Malachi. Blah. There you go. Paige? Okay, hearts? Trust? Bella? Your friends? Will? Bonding? Huh? Chocolates? All right, come on. Yes. Lydia, I love that every time I point at you, you're like, me? This? Yeah, Lydia. Pink, Miles, being able to understand each other. Right. So, man, I want to come back to Paige. I think when most of us think of maybe an image of love, we think of what? A heart, right? A red heart. Like when you see a heart, you obviously think, man, that's love. That's why maybe the chocolates that you see all over Walmart right now, because they are just on every shelf, are always in the shape of what? A heart, right? Here, John is saying, hey, the heart is not the picture of love that we need to be chasing after. The image of love, when we think of this word, we need to think of Jesus. We need to think of Jesus literally giving up his life so that we could have salvation. Jesus talks about it in his own words. In John, he says this, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends." Greater love has no one than this, sacrificing yourself for others. And I love this because Jesus is foretelling his death without them even knowing it. He is saying this, there's no greater love. And they're thinking, well, man, what kind of love are we going to get from you? That exact thing. And that remains true of us today. That the love that we look to or look for is perfectly embodied in Jesus. When I think of that, I think of all the times in my life and probably in your life where you've looked to the sky or looked to God saying, man, why don't I feel you? Man, where's your love? Man, this bad thing just happened in my life or this temptation continues to overtake me. Where are you? I don't see you in my life right now. Let me tell you, I've had many moments like that. And here John is looking at us saying, in those moments, though it is very real and the pain is truly there, God has showed his love for us more than we'll ever need. In Jesus. So when we're in those moments, when we're thinking like, where are you? Always look back to the cross. Because he is sitting there saying, I'm right here. I did this for you. This is my love on display for you. And there's no greater love that you'll ever experience other than this moment right here. So what does John say to do with it? Pick it up in verse 11. Beloved, talking about us. If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. So he says, man, here's love. Love is shown. What do you do? Go show it to other people. Our response to God's love should always be to put it on display in our actions, in our words, in our interactions, even our thoughts. Listen to me. If we understand God's love correctly, as John is telling us to, there is no other way. This isn't a, well, hey, if you understand God's love, man, maybe think about it. Maybe think about loving others. It's not, you know, don't want to step on your toes, but maybe. No, John is looking and saying, this is the way. Man, if you've received the love, the only alternative, what we should be doing as Christians is showing it to others. Here's the point I want you to walk away with today. And then we're going to get into three quick applications from it. It's going to pop up on the screen. I have it written differently on my notes. So let me look at it here. Let's go to the main point, please. I have it written different in my notes. The true love of God must redefine our love. When you're, like I always try to say, when you get in your car with whoever's taking you home, when your parents or whoever, your guardians, whatever, say, hey, what'd you learn at church tonight? I learned that my love must be redefined by the true love of God. The true love of God that John here is trying to show us, that he is reminding us of. The love that truly is God. The love that is shown in perfection through Jesus. The love that is commanded upon us as Christians to show one another. Let our love not be defined by the world and by those around us and by the culture and by the music and whatever it is. Let our love be defined by God. So what are the applications? They're very quick and they're very easy. First, know God's love. Man, if you don't, you can't show God's love if you don't know God's love, right? Well, Nate, how do I know God's love? You cannot know his love unless you know him. I can't know things about you unless I know you. So how do we do that? Three quick things. Man, if you want to know God's love, well, you got to know him. How do you know him? The word of God. Man, you're sitting with the most miraculous thing in your hands, the Bible. This is God's love poured out for you so that you might know how you're supposed to live. And it's written down. You can literally go back to it every single day without fail if you wanted to and learn something new about God. The God that we are called to serve, the God that loves you so much that he gave himself for you. We can know him through his word. Secondly, prayer. Man, he has given us an avenue to literally talk to him through prayer. But many of us don't use it. Most of us don't use it enough. And lastly, fellowship. A beautiful way to know God is to know his people. A beautiful way to know God is being here amongst other believers, learning about him, growing your faith, but enjoying his blessings together. Encouraging one another where you are doing well, bearing one another's burdens where you need it. So you must know God's love. In order to do that, you got to know him. Second, show God's love. Know God's love? Well, John instantly told us, hey, if we know it, one response, we need to show God's love. We need to love others the way that God loves you. Love others the way that God loves you. How is that? He loves you this way. He loves you selflessly. He loves you genuinely. He loves you kindly. He loves you mercifully. He loves you joyfully. He loves you excellently. He loves you graciously, generously, wholeheartedly, with self-control, faithfully, peacefully, patiently, gently, powerfully, and bountifully. And can I tell you, I could add to that list so many more. Man, God loves you perfectly. He loves you so, so well. And we are called to embody that for others. We are called to share that with others. Are you going to do that to perfection? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You will fail. But let me tell you, our goal should be. I love that one pastor put it. He said this, love leads people towards Jesus, not away from him. Love never does anything to harm another person's relationship with Jesus. Hear me. Think about it. When you read this, think about your love for others. Is that you? Is that you? Would you say that the way that I love people leads them towards Jesus? The way that I love them does not hurt their relationship with him. Show God's love. And lastly, resist the world's way. Know God's love, show God's love, resist the world's way. Let me tell you, the world's way is foolish. The world's way is selfish. And the world's way, the way that they are telling you to enjoy love, embrace love, whatever it is not going to lead to the end that you hope it does. It is not going to, the promises it has for you, it will not satisfy. It will fail. It is fleeting. Listen, as we close, I can tell you this from personal experience. Man, a few weeks ago, I kind of talked about how my parents' separation and really divorce really led me down to a rebellious path. Can I tell you the reason was I realized in that moment later that my love was not built on Jesus. My love was built on my parents' marriage. I thought their marriage was the perfection and image of love, and it wasn't. Jesus was. Jesus is. Listen to me. The world is going to tell you so many different things. It's going to attempt to tell you how to live and ways to pursue things. Don't listen to it. It's not worth it. Hear me say that. It's not worth it. Man, I don't know what your plans are for Valentine's. Dating, single, whatever. But this isn't just about dating. And this isn't just about relationships. This is about who we are at heart. And are we going to be loving people, defined by God's love for us? As we do, and really there's a split into two types of people in the room, unbeliever and believer. But if you're an unbeliever in this room, here's how I want you to respond today. Accept God's love for you and live in it. Accept God's love for you and live in it. I love Romans 8 or 5 says this, but God showed his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's you. That's me. Accept that and live it through. But if you're a believer in this room, I want you to take the calling today to be defined by God's love. Let your love, how you live, how you talk, how you act, how you think, be defined by God's love for you. Hey, we're going to stand and sing. Let me pray for us.
Thank you for listening. We hope you have a great week and that you are a light for Jesus. Grace and peace.